Well, one day in catechism class, the teacher asked the children, why did it take 40 years of wandering through the desert for the Israelites to make it to the promised land? And one little child spoke up and said it was because Moses wouldn't ask for directions. Well, somebody once wrote that if the wise men were wise women, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought disposable diapers and practical gifts. Now, of course, the gifts that the wise men brought were very practical, because gold was a gift for a king, and certainly this child born was the newborn king of the Jews, and in fact, the king of all creation. And frankincense was used to worship God. It was something that would be burned in the temple. So frankincense acknowledged the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the myrrh, which is the most interesting of all the gifts, is a resin, an embalming fluid used for burial. Try bringing that to your next baby shower and see how well that goes over. But it was meant to show that it was a gift for someone who was to die for our sins, that he would be the suffering servant of Isaiah, that he would be the sacrifice. So the gold acknowledges the kingship of Christ, the frankincense, the divinity of Christ, and the myrrh, the humanity of Christ and his willingness to suffer and to die as a sacrifice for our sins. So they were obviously very appropriate gifts that the wise men brought. But we also notice that even though the wise men were wise because they were seeking Christ, and the wise today will continue to seek Christ, but we notice that they weren't that smart, because who did they go to look for the newborn king of the Jews? It says they went, of course, to Jerusalem, and they went to King Herod. And so they weren't that smart because King Herod was a tyrant. He was a very wicked and evil man. King Herod killed 30 men on his way to take the throne. He killed 5 of his 10 wives. He killed 3 of his sons. He killed his mother-in-law. In fact, anybody who got in his way, King Herod got rid of. That's why one ancient historian says it was safer to be Herod's pet than to be his relative. So the household pets lived a lot longer than a relative, because Herod would just get rid of you. So now the Magi, these astrologers, these philosophers, these studiers of world religion, all the way most likely from the region of Persia that had traveled, you know, hundreds of miles, maybe 1,000 miles, they come to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews. And they ask King Herod, where is the newborn king of the Jews? And of course, this got him so upset, because to kill a baby, to get rid of a young child was nothing. He would certainly get rid of any threat to his throne. And so he tries to find out about when they saw this star. Now, we don't know exactly what star it was. There's speculation, you know, Halley's Comet was 11 BC, but that was probably too far removed. But between 4 and 6 BC, there was a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, which led off one of the brightest stars imaginable, because it was both Saturn and Jupiter conjoined, of what it gazed upon this bright star. And so perhaps that was the indication from these studiers of the stars that a king was born, because they saw a new star. So they figured it must be the newborn king of the Jews. So of course they go to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews. And of course, Herod wants to have this child killed. And so he doesn't know where this child will be born. So he asks the chief priests and the scribes to look in the Bible, to look in God's revealed word, where the Messiah was to be born. And it was Bethlehem, only 5 miles away. Isn't that something, that here you have people living 5 miles from Bethlehem in Jerusalem that were not out there searching for the Messiah? And yet these pagan astrologers, these Gentiles, traveled over 1,000 miles looking for the newborn king of the Jews. So remember, the star led them to Jerusalem, and now it's King Herod that tells them to go to Bethlehem. He said, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing how these religious people were not willing to even go 5 miles to try to find the Christ child? Now, of course, after they left Bethlehem, again, a star appears and goes over the house where the child was. Some of the saints, like Saint Jerome and others, say that this star was an angel that led them over the exact place where the child was. Notice it was no longer the cave or the stable or the manger, because after the census was over, Bethlehem would have emptied out and Joseph would have found proper housing for Mary and the child Jesus. And so it says in Scripture that they were now in a house, and the wise men came and found Mary there and the child. Joseph was most likely working at the time, trying to earn a living. But imagine the conversation when he came home that night. "Honey, you'll never believe who came by today to see our child. And take a look at these gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And so we have here, I think, something which is called the Epiphany, which means the revelation, the manifestation, because today the divinity of Christ was revealed and manifested to the Gentiles. In the early church, this feast day honored four great events: the birth of Christ at Christmas and his manifestation of his divinity to the shepherds; today's feast day, the manifestation to the Gentiles, the wise men; the baptism of the Lord, where God revealed his divinity to John the Baptist at the Jordan River; and the wedding feast of Cana, where Jesus revealed his divinity to the disciples by working his first miracle. All four of those things are epiphanies, revelations, manifestations of the divinity of Christ, again, to the shepherds, to the wise men, to John the Baptist at the Jordan, and to the disciples at the wedding feast of Cana. Today, though, the church has divided those feast days into different feast days. In fact, next Sunday we'll celebrate the baptism of the Lord. But the word Epiphany does mean a manifestation, a revelation of the divinity, and it is for us. And what I'd like to do is just end by giving a couple practical suggestions whenever we come to Mass, because I think that, you know, every time we come to Mass, we make a little pilgrimage. We drive to Mass, whether it be 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. And as we drive to Mass, we can really think of those wise men who traveled to come to adore Christ. We travel every Sunday to come to adore Jesus at Mass. And the wise men, of course, had to travel for months under hardship and on camels. And their whole journey, their whole pilgrimage, was an act of love. And the same thing for us. Whether you drive 5 minutes or 30 minutes to come to Mass, just driving here or walking here, if you live close by, is an act of love for Jesus. Use that time well in the car. Spend that time in silence and recollection, getting ready to receive and attend Mass and get to receive Jesus pretty soon in Holy Communion. I know when I was growing up as a kid, we did not listen to the radio or the news on the way to church. My dad said, "No, let's use that time for saying a decade of the rosary or a couple decades of the rosary." Some of you live one decade away. Some of you live 5 decades away from church. So use that time well, or listen to a religious CD of Christian or beautiful Catholic music. But in other words, use your travel time well. And just like the wise men had to make a journey, we make a journey as well. And don't forget that they brought gifts when they came to worship the Christ child. We should also bring gifts every time we come to Mass: the gold of our love, the frankincense of our prayers, and the myrrh of our mortifications and sacrifices. See, this is what we bring to the Lord. Every time we come to Mass, we bring our time, our talents, and our treasure. Some of you use your talents as lectors or ushers or in the choir. So use your talents and give your talents to God. Give your time to God. Give some of your treasure to God. Use that 10% to help save souls and use it for the work of the church and to help the poor. So we bring gifts every time we come to Mass. The gold of our love, the frankincense of our prayers, and the myrrh of our mortifications. And lastly, the wise men adored Christ. It says in Scripture, they prostrated themselves. They laid down on the floor and adored the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We, of course, show our great love for Jesus by genuflecting. When we come into church, we genuflect to Jesus in the tabernacle. That's how we acknowledge that our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is our God and our King and our Savior. Before we receive communion, we bow. We make a sign of reverence before we receive the Lord. And then we receive the Lord with utmost reverence and respect because He is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to receive Holy Communion in the state of grace to make a worthy dwelling for Christ our King. So this is how we can apply the Feast of the Epiphany to coming to Mass each Sunday. Let's use our time well as we drive to Mass. Try to get here perhaps a few minutes early to say a few prayers after Mass. Maybe stay a moment afterwards to make a thanksgiving to Jesus truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity within your soul in Holy Communion. And then don't forget to bring your gifts every time you come to Mass. Your love, your prayers, and your sacrifices.